Christchurch, New Zealand, is one of the most beautiful places on earth, and the people we met there on our visits were very friendly. But on Thursday, March 14, the faces of evil shattered the serenity of Christchurch. A truly demented man killed almost 50 people and injured some 200 more as these innocent people prayed in their mosques. The devilish monster equipped himself with a camera so that the world could witness his campaign of terror. The victims were all Muslims at prayer. The shooter was a misguided white supremacist from Australia who apparently planned this massacre for 2 years. Any rational person must condemn this senseless violence. I voiced my concerns about radical Islam in the past and will continue to speak out about it. But these were not Muslims committing terrorism. They have a right to worship who and when they wish, just as we demand for ourselves. Democrats and the fake news media immediately tried to use this tragedy to hammer away at our Second Amendment and to somehow tie President Trump into it. First of all, New Zealand has some of the strictest gun laws in our world. No new gun law would have stopped this man's 2-year plan to kill. This killer made it plain that he was not a conservative nor a Trump supporter. The only thing about Trump that this amoral man liked was that Trump had a white skin. For Democrats to use this human tragedy that occurred half a world away to attack the American president is more proof that power means more to them than human decency or our country. President Trump has strongly condemned the killings in New Zealand. Democrats and the mainstream media know that the KKK has been reduced to a very small group of malcontents who are not welcome in American society, so now they switch to white nationalists. Like the dwindling number of Klan members, white nationalists are relatively few in number. One, of course, is enough to bother us, but these people are on the outside of the mainstream. No man or woman is superior to another because of the color of their skin. It is right to condemn the white nationalism movement, just as it's right to condemn those who harbor anti-Semitism and those who salute black power. President Trump has repeatedly said that he supports legal immigration, but is against those who break our laws by jumping ahead of those immigrants patiently waiting in line to enter legally. He's also made it clear that he is not against Muslim immigrants unless they offer a danger to this country. But that has not stopped liberal Democrats or the fake news media from leveling that charge against him. The New Zealand killer had no ties to the United States or to Donald Trump. He was a deranged individual who wished to further divide Americans. Democrats and the mainstream media rushed to help him in that effort to divide. For that, they themselves should be condemned. White nationalism or black nationalism, it's all the same, and it's all despicable. The scandal involving our major universities and rich parents who joined a scheme to defraud the admissions standards must not be swept under the rug. Every young person who applies for college deserves an equal opportunity to be accepted, and when that opportunity is taken away, change has to come. No parent should be able to buy admittance for their child. But we need to go beyond that. If somebody wants to donate money to build a library on a campus, that should not entitle them to have their child admitted ahead of someone more qualified. The fact that Grandpa and Daddy went to a school should not be the criteria for admittance by their child. We should have the same standards for everybody, rich or poor. This doesn't just affect minorities, but white children from families that can't afford to buy their way in. College snowflakes who have been indoctrinated by socialist college professors vote out of emotion, not fact. A voting age of 18 allows for that. Now, Democrats want to lower the voting age to 16. Well, why not 12? 16-year-olds lack the maturity to make informed decisions on something as important as who will lead our country. Couple that with the Democrats' plan to give illegal aliens the right to vote, and you have a recipe for disaster. Democrats actually voted recently for a bill that would allow illegal immigrants to vote in this country. They have no conscience. They are consumed by greed for political power. I hope you will listen carefully to my commentary today, because what I'm about to reveal is the life and death situation we find ourselves embroiled in. As an average, ordinary American citizen, it's easy to become frustrated and tune out what's happening around us. What can I do, you might ask? The answer is that you or I alone cannot affect the changes needed. But when we unite with others, like us, who are just as frustrated, we form a powerful bond. Put yourself in the shoes of a Paul Revere, a Ben Franklin, or John Adams, or the average ordinary working man or woman frustrated by English rule. Had they turned a deaf ear and not stood together, there would be no United States today. That's the power of average, ordinary people with the will to affect change. Make no mistake, our greatest danger does not come from North Korea, Russia, China, or Iran. Of course, they're a danger, but a far more immediate danger comes from within our own country. Derek Hunter at Town Hall pointed out that the Democratic Party needs to be destroyed before it destroys the country. There are no areas in which liberals, progressives, leftists, socialists, or whatever they want to call themselves this week, are working for the betterment of the American citizens or to advance the cause of individual liberty. Their entire existence appears to be just the opposite. The most powerful Democrat, House Leader Nancy Pelosi's own city, is overrun with feces and used hypodermic needles as illegal aliens flood her state. She doesn't see disaster or even a problem. Democrats are moving to destroy the ideas that make up America, everything that makes the United States worth defending. It's not just the so-called Green New Deal, the Marxist dream packaged as an answer to imaginary problems and pushed by a low IQ freshman congresswoman from New York named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Just recently, Cortez said that America was just 10% better than garbage. Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats remain silent. None of them spoke up for their country. It's every concept Democrats are standing for. A concept like eliminating cow farts and airplanes would have been treated as a joke just 5 years ago. Now it's gospel, with millions of devotees. Monetary benefits for people unwilling to work would have gotten a politician laughed out of town, just as blatantly lying about it would have. Democrats preach tolerance while celebrating the hatred of Israel. They award themselves with the mantle of champions of women, while one of their own is accused of rape in Virginia. They actively cheer legalizing infanticide, then deny that they did it. They decry racism while backing off calls for the resignation of two statewide Democrat officials with a history of painting themselves in blackface. Everything Democrats are today is a lie. Everything they advocate for is cover for those lies. We can no longer count on the insanity of their words and actions to turn people off. We are too deep into an education system indoctrinating a generation into believing socialism works and that government is the only entity capable of delivering opportunity. Too many people believed elected leaders when they said that the system was rigged against them, that there's no point in trying to change it. Young people expect government to protect them, to parent them, and to provide for them. They've been conditioned to despise success. Envy and entitlement have supplanted the American spirit. Liberalism has gone from being a contrary philosophy to being an evil, except to Democrats. There is no lie too big, no shortage of people conditioned and willing to believe it. You cannot compromise with that. You must destroy it before it destroys you. There are so many situations in our country that seem to be decaying and disappearing, from the two-parent household to moral standards. The courts have become soft on crime. Fewer people appear to be working, and a growing number not working but receiving money from a government bent on continuing the process. Illegal aliens are being welcomed and protected by Democrats in hopes of building a new voting bloc. Who truly has this country's best interests at heart today? At present, we have two primary parties in government, Republicans and Democrats. Do they serve us? Do they desire to be people who make the country better? Or are they self-serving to the end? I do not consider myself to be a member of either party. As I aged, I tended to move away from both. Neither one is looking out for the average little man, the middle man, the cornerstones of this country. The belief is that Republicans look out for themselves and the network of money men in our country, while the Democrats are on the side of minorities and those who seek to enter our country illegally to find a better life, they say. If this is accurate, who's looking after those who reside between the two extremes? There may be lip service given from both sides in an attempt to sway voters one direction or the other, but really, if one is for the rich and one is for the poor, neither one of them is for you, or for those in the middle, who get up and go to work every day, pay their bills, in addition to those, the ones who aren't working and entering our country illegally every single day. At the heart of the problem in America today is the realm of the Democratic Party's house, and it is a problem growing daily. One area is the growing number of disability claims, which have taken place over the past few years. In 2009, there were 8.9 million beneficiaries of disability benefits on the books. 8.9 million. Today, that number is in excess of 11 million. Of those on disability, some 3.6 million are those whose disability is of a mental disorder concern. The next largest group of beneficiaries at 2.8 million are those with what is described as being back problems. In addition to this, there is another 8.3 million people who receive supplemental security income, which is a separately funded disability program for low-income people. So, if you add the two groups together, you arrive at a number nearing 20 million people who receive some form of disability income. As of April 2016, there was only just over 120 million people in our country who had a full-time job. So, for every six people who work 35 or more hours each week, there is one who does nothing and receives an income. Democrats propose that under their Green New Deal, people who can work but don't want to work would receive an income from taxpayers who do work. As time has passed, the perception is that those whose unemployment benefits have run out are finding themselves another paycheck by being approved for disability via the reason that they cannot find jobs, that they are depressed and are therefore unable to work even if they had a job available. Once on this kind of sustenance, there is no reason to get off, and the amount of those receiving this kind of government assistance continues to grow. In 1930, Caucasians accounted for 89.9% of America. In 1960, that number began to drop, setting at 88.5%. By 1990, the number had dropped to 80.3%. By 2000, it was 75.1%. And by 2010, it had fallen to 72.4%. But looking deeper into the numbers, we find a trend that could lead to a troubling conclusion. When looking specifically at the newborn to 19-year-olds in America today, the number are far closer than at any time in our nation's history. Of the total population of those groups today, Caucasians stand at a mere 65.4% against a mixed African-American population of 28.8%. And in the newborn to four-year-old category, the numbers are closer still, with Caucasians totaling 63.3% to mixed African-Americans at 30.8%. So what does all that mean? First, it means that far fewer Caucasians are having children than ever before, and therefore the population is shifting faster than at any point in our nation's history. And while that may not be a good or bad thing, the fact is that fewer of the 30.8% will be working in the future if the numbers hold true to what is occurring today. And if that does occur, there will be fewer actual workers working to provide an income both for themselves and those who are subsidized by our government. Again, it appears that the Democratic Party is encouraging those who are of this ethnic background by allowing more subsidies to exist and by not halting this flood of non-workers to find work somehow, somewhere. While the majority of those termed illegal aliens come through Mexico, they are no longer mostly Mexicans. The flood of illegal aliens today comes from countries like Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and other Latin American countries. In February of this year, 90% of those apprehended at the border were from Guatemala. When liberals say that these people are simply seeking a better life for themselves, we can't disagree. But there is a proper and legal way to come here legally, and if you cannot follow our laws, then you have no right to be here. By the same token, there are those who come to our country not to work, but to feed off American taxpayers by various means. Those means could be by having a child, the so-called anchor baby, that then ties them to our country and does not immediately require them to become citizens in the normal manner, or by selling illegal drugs from the cartels of Mexico to America. Both versions of these illegal aliens are deceptive in their approach and do not have our country's best interests at heart. Yet, we don't seem to have the backbone to halt their entry into the United States. The anchor babies bring entire families into our country, and while finding jobs is true for some, jobs that may have no benefits or are paid in cash off the books are exposed. And the opportunities, including health care and food benefits, allow them to continue their existence here without having to become legal immigrants. We must do something to halt the invasion taking place today. As for the drug runners, various groups asked in a Harvard survey about the legalization of marijuana detail clearly that Democrats support legalizing the drug, while Republicans do not. Based on that survey, we can assume that these Democrats would not be for stronger drug law enforcement regarding the illegal import of drugs from Mexico. Our illegal alien problem was here long before the Trump administration. In fact, the migration peaked in 2003. What we do have now is a growing population of children born to illegal aliens who are not graduating from high school and are therefore not gaining an education that will help them meet the needs of the world and prepare them for a better life as adults. Millions of U.S.-born children of illegal aliens reside in this country, in addition to the 1 million-plus illegal children of illegal alien parents. Statistics show that the majority of these children will not graduate from high school. This will lead to more dependence upon the good graces of government to provide care for them. And who do these people look to for leadership? When asked if they are Democrats or Republicans, the answer is overwhelmingly Democrat by a huge margin. 35% say Democrat to just 2% who say Republican. Another 33% say they're independent. So if this group is allowed to vote, and there are only two choices, the great majority will vote for Democrats. That's what Democrats are banking on for replacing the base of American citizens who are leaving the party in droves due to their far-left hijacking. Gun control has become a hot-button topic between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats favor gun control to the point of removing large portions of guns from the hands of our population. The far-left socialists that have hijacked the Democratic Party are intent upon repealing the Second Amendment to bear arms. At the center of this argument is the item termed an assault weapon. An assault weapon is considered to be a weapon which is semi-automatic in nature, meaning one trigger pull is all that's needed rather than having to manually cycle the weapon in order to remove the spent shell and insert a new one. It does this automatically. The question is, what is an assault rifle and what is an assault weapon? That's at the heart of the discussion. In truth, an assault weapon is nothing more than a semi-automatic rifle which fires one cartridge per trigger pull. They may be designed to look like an assault weapon, but they are not capable of performing like one. So if you have a shotgun that reloads itself after each shot, a hunting rifle, or a pistol, you are in ownership of something that could fall into the assault rifle category. The Democrats want to eliminate such weapons from the hands of law-abiding citizens. Criminals, of course, would not be covered under those seizures. At the center of this is the intent of our founding fathers as to what the Second Amendment truly means. Does it allow that we can have guns, any guns, or does it mean that we are only to own certain guns? What is a well-regulated militia? Is it the National Guard, or is it anyone who can stand against the tyranny of governments? Venezuelans were not allowed to own guns, and today that socialist government cannot be overthrown by an unarmed populace. So what does all this mean? It appears that the group on which the Democratic Party relies is the illegal alien and their family, the underprivileged and their families, and groups who would rather get their sustenance with little or no effort rather than having to work for it. And all of those groups are growing larger each year. At some point, sooner than we think, they will overtake the working class, and then where will America be? In addition, the anti-gun faction is spreading the word that if we get rid of guns, or at least certain types of guns, then murders and shootings of the type seen on the evening news will drop. Statistics do not back this up, nor does the increase in crime, murders, and shootings. With lawful citizens deprived of owning a weapon for protection, the only armed people would be the police and criminals. Given that the police cannot be everywhere at once, we are left like a herd of sheep against a pack of wolves, and that becomes the new norm. So if one determines that these facts are indeed a portent of things to come, one would be forced to determine that the Democratic Party and its beliefs are directing America to its doom. In many respects, we are like cattle being herded towards a cliff. If we do not turn away, we will go over that cliff and into oblivion. The 2020 election could well be the determining factor in our existence as a free and privileged country. Democratic presidential hopefuls continue to reveal their intentions to run. It will be interesting to see, after they get through revealing the dirt on one another, which candidate survives to face Donald Trump. The slate of Democratic candidates has one thing in common, and that is hate for President Trump. They formed that hate immediately after Hillary Clinton lost in 2016, even before Trump had taken any actions. In truth, Democrats have no agenda of their own. They cannot run on the failed policies of Barack Hussein Obama, and they offer no ideas of their own. Elections are not won by constantly attacking an opponent. To win, the voters have to be offered a clear and evident difference between you and your opponent. There is just so much of Trump hate that people want to hear. America has issues to address, from infrastructure concerns to illegal immigration, which threatens the very fabric of our country. So what are Democrats doing to address those issues? They have no time to address them. Their entire focus is on destroying Donald Trump and even his family. We would do well to focus on the things Trump has been able to accomplish, rather than his habit of speaking off the cuff with brash, even rude comments. Give me a man of action, a man who loves his country and fights for it, and I can forgive their quirky personality traits. A vote in the 2020 election for the Democratic candidate would likely continue the march towards the cliff, while a vote to reelect Donald Trump would provide a different course. Again, I am neither a Democrat or Republican, but I am going on record that to vote Democrat will lead to a continued fall, both in our country and in the eyes of the world. I hope you will vote your conscience. Vote with your head, not on emotion. This country cannot take any more years of the Democratic thought process of free handouts, a continued allowance of illegals who take without giving or earning, or on a growing population of certain groups to place them into power in order to continue that existence. The time has come for ordinary Americans, the middle class, to simply say no to the Democrats. I appreciate your listening. I'll be back, same time, same station, next week. God bless America.